In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scene that we have playing out before us in our gospel reading for today is a very dramatic and captivating one. Jesus enters the temple and finds it overrun with cattle, sheep, and doves. He sees the money changers have set up shop, sitting at tables to conduct their business. If we stop and close our eyes and imagine this scene, I think we'll see a very frenetic and chaotic one. The cattle having to be constantly poked and prodded back into their corral, the sheep bleeding out as they are herded from one place to another, the wings of doves flapping every time their cages are touched or moved. The sound of all that animal life would have been loud on its own, but add to it that it's in this great temple of stone with all of its echoing chambers, and it would have been a cacophony of sound. Along with all that would have been the people themselves. The temple was the very heart, the very core of Jewish life. People came to make their sacrificial obligations. They came to make special offerings of thanks and praise. There is not a single instance in a Jewish person's life that would not have been connected to the temple. The temple is where their lives and the divine, the holy, the eternal met. So here you have people from every corner of the country brought together for just about every reason you can think of or name, milling together in this one place. In walks Jesus, and he brings it all to an abrupt halt. With a quickly fashioned whip of rope and some harsh and damning words, Jesus drives out the animals, overturns the tables, and dumps out the money changers' coins. This is not performance art by Jesus. This is more than a protest or civil disobedience. Jesus, through his actions, is inserting himself right into the foundation of Jewish life. Along with these dramatic actions, Jesus says some very dramatic things. Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. There is an interesting quirk in the way the Gospel of John delivers this story to us. The other Gospels recount it, but for them it happens much later in the telling of Jesus' ministry. The Gospel of John, on the other hand, places it as one of his very first public acts. Matthew has it in chapter 21, Mark in chapter 11, Luke in chapter 19. Here we have John presenting to us in chapter 2. Now this can be explained in different ways. One is to conclude that Jesus cleansed the temple more than once. One at the beginning of his ministry and another towards the end. We, of course, cannot ask the author of the Gospel of John why this difference is there, but I do think they give us a clue in their writing. The author has this to say in response to Jesus' claim of raising the temple in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of John, perhaps more so than any of the other Gospels, is focused on the divinity of Jesus, focused on the holy mystery that is the incarnation and the epiphany of Jesus, on the wonders that is God made flesh, made a human being with a body just like yours and mine. It is this focus on this new temple, this new intersection of our lives and God, the very body of Jesus that the author of John is so focused on. To me, it seems easy to understand the desire to place this story at the beginning, because so much of what follows in the gospel is not only connected to it, but also trying to understand just what it means for us and the world that in the body of Jesus we find and encounter God. We can learn so much about the divine, about the holy, about God, by seeing what Jesus does with his body. One of the gifts of Lent, in fact, the entire liturgical year, is that we are invited to journey alongside Jesus, to travel with him and experience and follow what he did. Today we see his hands braiding a rope into a whip so he can cleanse the holy temple from worldly greed and corruption. During Holy Week, we will see Jesus bend himself down onto his hands and knees so that he can wash the feet of his disciples, serving them with great humility. We will see him sit at table with his closest friends, eating and drinking with them, sharing in the joy and blessing of food. We will see him thrown deep into prayer, sweating as he comes to terms with the suffering his body must go through. We will see his body broken on the cross and placed in a tomb. And at Easter, we will see that body raised from the dead. The same body that spoke and ate and drank and healed and preached and showed humility and showed service and showed compassion and joy and grace and love. This same body will be lifted up into everlasting life. God is so committed to us, so committed to humanity, that God became human. And after Jesus had been mocked, rejected by this world, God was still so committed to us that he raised that body up into glory. We still today can find God in that body. By the words of Scripture and the worship of the church, we find the life of Jesus being lived out before us. By coming to this altar and sharing bread and wine, we discover the presence of Jesus. When we look into the faces of the people next to us in the pews, when we look into the faces of our neighbors, we find God dwelling within them. God has not only given us the gift of his Son, the gift of his life and body, but he has given us the gift to be a part of that body, to be a part of that new temple, to live as he showed us to live, a life full of love and joy and grace and compassion and service and humility.